You're listening to SBS News. They're our family, they're our friends, they're our neighbours, they're our partners. They have always stood with us and we will always stand with them. We all know the Kokoda story. They were there for us, we will be there for them.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison is offering COVID-19 support to Papua New Guinea. 8,000 vaccine doses for frontline healthcare workers will be sent to PNG in an effort to combat its growing coronavirus outbreak. Australia's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Paul Kelly, says the virus is spreading rapidly in the country.
We've seen of the cases that have been diagnosed in PNG, half of them have been diagnosed in the last couple of weeks. Recognising that they do not have the resources for mass testing as we do here in Australia, and so any number you see coming out of Papua New Guinea in terms of cases and even deaths will be a major underestimate.
The vaccines are a part of a $144 million package to support PNG. This includes personal protective equipment, ventilators and an OSMAT team to help the country's vaccine rollout. Health Minister Greg Hunt described the initiative as life-saving fundamental forms of medical aid. On top of the 8,000 vaccines, Mr. Morrison says the federal government hopes to redirect 1 million doses ordered from Europe intended for Australia to PNG.
And that's why I'll be appealing to the European Union to let the vaccines go that we have contracted for so we can get that help to Papua New Guinea. And every other vaccine we can get out of Europe, that's where I'll send it. I'll send it straight there, but we need their help to do it. We need them to lift the block.
Italy blocked a vaccine shipment bound for Australia earlier this month on the grounds that Australia didn't have as high a need for them. Passenger flights between Papua New Guinea and Australia have been suspended in the meantime. Foreign Minister Maurice Payne says Australia's assistance will also reduce risk to inhabitants of the Torres Strait Islands.
We're obviously dealing with very close family and cultural connections between those traditional inhabitants of the villages within the Torres Strait Protected Zone, and therefore paying particular attention to the needs of those treaty villages.
Labor Senator Penny Wong says the federal government should have acted sooner.
We all know that this is a porous border. We all know how close we are to PNG, and we've seen this highly risky situation unfolding for some time now. I would say the government's response hasn't reflected that clear and present danger. It has been uncertain, it has been tardy.
In other news, there's been plenty of reaction to outgoing Liberal MP Nicole Flint's tearful farewell speech in the House of Representatives. The member for the South Australian electorate of Boothby last month announced she would be leaving politics at the next election. In her speech, Ms. Flint singled out Labor leader Anthony Albanese and senior women in the Labor Party.
I sincerely hope that the Leader of the Opposition and all the senior Labor women are listening to me right now. The safety of women in this place, of female staff, of female MPs and senators, should be above politics. The need to change the culture of our parties and of this place should be above politics.
Ms. Flint criticised Mr. Albanese for his recent attacks on the coalition and accused him of not supporting her when she faced harassment in the lead-up to the 2019 election, when activist group GetUp named Ms. Flint as South Australia's most backwards politician. Ms. Flint then highlighted the harassment she endured over the course of that campaign and her political career.
They may not have held the spray can to vandalise my office with sexist slurs. They may not have held the camera pointed at me by the stalker or called me evil in GetUp's phone calls, but they did create the environment in which hate could flourish. So, I say to the Leader of the Opposition, what will you do about this? I say to the Leader of the Opposition, get your own house in order. And I say to the Leader of the Opposition, this can't be about politics anymore. We all bear the responsibility for change.
Mr. Albanese responded, saying he always calls out inappropriate behaviour.
I call it out whenever I'm asked to do so, whenever I'm aware of it. I do it consistently, each and every time, regardless of who it's directed at. Nicole Flint was subject to very bad behaviour, and that shouldn't have happened.
The Prime Minister says Ms. Flint is brave to speak out about her experience.
I think she's an incredibly brave woman. I was there with her as she endured one of the ugliest campaigns I've ever seen waged against not just a woman but anyone in this country, and her determination to stand up to that in the face of the most vitriolic of abuse, stalking and threats to her own public security was just absolutely appalling.
And Indigenous members of Parliament and advocates have vowed not to give up the pursuit of constitutional recognition of the Uluru Statement from the Heart after a motion to establish an inquiry into truth-telling and treaty-making was voted down by the Senate. Liberal MPs opposed the motion, saying these processes are a matter for state and territory governments, not the Commonwealth. Torres Strait Islander man Thomas Mayer says he won't stop advocating for a constitutionally enshrined Indigenous voice to Parliament or a Makarrata Commission to oversee the process of truth-telling.
We want to make sure that it's loud and clear that a voice cannot only be legislated, it must be protected in the Constitution because every other voice that we've had in the past has been destroyed by hostile governments. It needs to be in the Constitution because we shouldn't be excluded. We have a rightful place and that must be found. It's a disgrace that they have opposed truth-telling and the talks about treaty.
Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.